straighten this out.
Radio.
Coming on, Joanne.
Hi, John. How are you?
All right, we're coming live.
Yep. Come on. Were you able to reach Deshaun all right?
Hey, Joanne, how's everything going?
Good. Welcome to the Applause Radio Show, everybody. We're sponsored by The Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey. Precious Memory Video in Pennsylvania. Where exactly in Pennsylvania, John?
In Kintnersville.
Kintnersville, Pennsylvania. But they go all over the place, so don't worry about that. And KWV Wines from South Africa and Catskill Provision. Well, joining us tonight, we've got, wow, it's a busy night. Excuse me. Joining us tonight, we've got actually three or four guests all in one night, so we got to kind of like talk fast. But on the phone, on the phone with us is Wendy Rheingold, and she's the daughter of songwriter Deborah Chesler, and they have a play out right now called Soul Harmony: The Story of Deborah Chesler, Sonny Till, and the Orioles, and. Deborah, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm Wendy, and my mom is...
Wendy, I'm so sorry. Wendy, hi. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Either way, great to be on the show.
Well, it's crazy. We've never had four guests in one night, so this is a first for me. So
wow. You're doing a lot of juggling tonight.
Yeah, there's a lot going on and talking to everybody. It's just been crazy. So I apologize. Wow. So, Wendy, tell us, I know based on your background, I saw you're a graphic designer. And so how involved are you with this play as far as... everything.
Right. The last run of the stage musical was in Pennsylvania. So I got in touch with a lot of groups that I thought that the show would be of interest to notify them that the show was going to be in town in their area and so on. And it had a great run in Westchester, Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
And now the soundtrack to the stage musical is out, and people can if they'd like to order the soundtrack, they can order it on Amazon, at Walmart.com, Oldies.com. They can order it on eBay, among other places order the soundtrack. And basically, the stage musical came about through a series of interviews.
Is this your baby? I mean, is this your story and they put it to life?
It's mostly my mother's story.
Okay.
About what she remembers from the time that she was managing Sonny Till and the Orioles and also writing several songs that they had hit big hits with.
Right.
And, when you go through their list of hits, usually the one that pops up that was not a song that she wrote was the song Crying in the Chapel,
which was also a
big, big hit for them.
Right.
But my mother's biggest hit for the Orioles that my mother wrote was a song called It's Too Soon to Know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the songs, and among several others, that are included in the stage musical and on the soundtrack to the stage musical, Soul Harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And the producers of Soul Harmony Alan Berg and Michael Allen Harrison. They did a terrific job in putting together the story that my mother told to Alan through numerous interviews. She conducted, they never had the chance to meet in person, but they conducted numerous telephone interviews. My mom had a great memory for what her time in the music business was about for many, many years ago.
Yeah, because, you know, she didn't pass that long ago either. So, you know, still fresh too, for you too.
Yeah, still had a very fresh memory for it. And they were able to include a gentleman in the stage musical production that interviewed my mother at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well,
so that gentleman is in the production. His name is Charlie Horner, and he's a music historian. And he can also, you know, he has a wealth of information about my mother's singing group and about other singing groups. And he played himself in the stage musical interviewing my mother.
Right. So I know your mother's story. So, but is the play based more on your mother or Sonny Till? Because they brought the song to a head. I mean, obviously they worked together, manager and band. But who's the story? I mean, who's taking more control of it?
I think if Sonny Till had been alive when they were conducting the interviews to form the story for the stage musical, it would have been as much. It is about him, but it's as much about my mother as it is about Sonny Till. And my mother being the only and her mother being the female leads. You know, you do have Deshaun playing Sonny Till.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You also had the director playing him at one point in the musical.
Oh, really?
So they're both the lead characters.
Right.
You know, my mother and Sonny Till. You know, Deshaun does a great job because I think you're going to be talking to Deshaun as well.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun does a great job. You know, playing his grandfather. He has a different kind of singing voice than his grandfather.
I thought he sounded fantastic.
He has like his grandfather, two different tones when they sing, different tones, but also like his grandfather, he has great diction. And my mom used to talk about what great diction Sonny Till had. And that, you know, that was also a big part of singer Sonny Till's success. You could understand the words of the songs he was singing, you know. And Deshaun has that quality when he sings also. You can understand the words. And these days there aren't a lot of singers who have great diction when they sing. And you struggle to understand what are the words the songwriter were writing when the singer sings, you know, but you didn't have that problem with Sonny Till, and you don't have that problem when Deshaun Dooley sings either. You can understand what the songwriter was trying to convey through their singing, their, you know, beautiful singing voices.
Right. Well, Deshaun is going to join us. We're talking about Deshaun Dooley. He's actually the grandson of Sonny Till.
And he
plays Sonny Till in the play, which is amazing.
Yes.
So that's just great. And so you see it going to Broadway? Is that a true rumor?
We're crossing our fingers. We're hoping that the latest that I'm hearing is the next stop is where my mother and father were born and where the Orioles were born, Baltimore, Maryland.
Right.
So that's going to be, you know, that's going to have a nice emotional attachment to it.
Right.
I don't have any performance dates yet. You know, I hope to be able to let you know in the future the next performance dates. You know, also, of course, hoping that it goes to New York. And the Orioles had a very successful run playing at the Apollo in New York years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another reason why, you know, why we cross our fingers hoping that it will go to New York. But it got some nice reviews when it performed in Pennsylvania. And then before that, Joanne, it performed where the producers live in Oregon.
Oh, cool.
And the producers, Alan Berg and Michael Allen Harrison, they live in Oregon. And happy to say that the producers and Deshaun Dooley picked up awards that are the equivalent to Tony Awards that were given out in Oregon, because they have a large stage show theatrical community in Oregon, so they do an award show for productions. So very happy that Deshaun picked up an award, and Alan Berg and Michael Harrison picked up awards for Soul Harmony.
Right, right. That's great. Well, congratulations.
Well deserved.
Yeah.
Well deserved.
Are you in the play at all, or no? Just
No, I'm not in the play. I don't know if there's not a role for anybody playing me in the show, but there's not a role for my father in the show, but there is a role played by my mom's ex-husband, because this was when she was much younger and she was during her first marriage.
Mm.
So. I got to meet the man who plays my mom's ex-husband. And one night when the show was running, there was a night off, and the cast went to see a show of where other singing groups perform.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie Horner, the music historian who interviewed my mom at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, he put together that concert of other singing groups. And that night, I sat next to the man who plays my mom's ex-husband. So that was kind of interesting.
That's very cool. So now,
yeah.
Your mother's first hit, was it with Sonny and the Orioles, or was it?
That song, It's Too Soon to Know, they recorded it first, the Orioles.
Right.
And then, and they did a fantastic version, and it's the version that the music critic Greil Marcus writes about in his article on my mother in the Rolling Stone magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I briefly told you about in getting to know you a little bit before this show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Greil Marcus, who's another music historian and music critic, and he's also an author of books about music and culture.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote an article about my mother in the June 24th, 1993 edition of Rolling Stone magazine, and he titled the article, Is This the Woman Who Invented Rock and Roll? And so my mother was so thrilled.
And they based that off of Too Soon to Know? Because I didn't
they
think
based
that was...
off of, the, of It's Too Soon to Know, and based it off of that she was the behind the scenes genius behind the scenes of the Orioles. The Orioles were their own genius.
Too soon to know to be rock and roll. It was more of a nice ballad.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I think to me it's like the first rock and roll ballad. Now my mom wrote my mother wrote a song called Barbara Lee that has more of the beat of rock and roll. But the disc jockeys played that song, Barbara Lee, and then they didn't get any phone calls from listeners. And on the other side of the record was It's Too Soon to Know. They started playing It's Too Soon to Know, and the telephones wouldn't stop ringing.
Yep.
People wanted to keep hearing It's Too Soon to Know.
Yep.
And so now it's one of the songs debated to be the first rock and roll record in the novel written by Jim Dawson and Steve Probst, with a foreword by a previous guest of yours. You did a great interview previously with Billy Vera.
Yes, love Billy Vera.
Right?
Yes.
So he wrote one of the forewords to the book called What Was the First Rock and Roll Record?
Oh, nice.
And Greil Marcus's description of my mom's song It's Too Soon to Know comes in as number 10 on a list of I think 50 songs debated to be which one is the first rock and roll record.
Wow. So I was going to say, with songs like Too Soon to Know and Crying in the Chapel constantly playing in your house, how did you wind up being a Black Sabbath fan? I have to ask you that.
How did I wind up being a Black Sabbath fan?
Yeah.
Basically, all I know about Black Sabbath is what the lead singer is, Ozzy Osbourne.
No, because I saw while researching you that your favorite band is Black Sabbath. I was like, how'd you go to Black Sabbath from Crying in the Chapel and Too Soon to Know?
I'm gonna use a phrase that's very popular right now. I think you were reading some fake news, Joanne.
Oh, God. No, we don't talk about that here.
I think somebody sent you some fake news. I'm a fan of a lot of vocalists that my mother was a fan of, and a vocalist that had similar styles that came along after.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of that singer Donna Summer.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Do you enjoy any of Donna Summer's songs?
Oh, of course. She's the queen of disco. Of course. Yeah.
And my mother used to go to concerts with me to see Donna Summer. And I keep thinking that if Donna Summer and one of my mother's It's Too Soon to Know singers, three of her It's Too Soon to Know singers, I think would have loved Donna Summer, and I think she probably loved them. And that was Donnie Washington and Ella Fitzgerald and Etta James.
Nice.
And I just think that she was the type of singer that they would be proud to see that continued having a great singing career. I think Ella Fitzgerald would have loved Donna Summer, and I think Dinah Washington and Etta James would have loved her also.
What song did your mom write for Desi Arnaz and Lionel Hampton?
I don't know the title of that. I think that it wasn't really connected to the Orioles. I'm not that familiar.
But it came much later, obviously.
Yeah.
Too Soon to Know and Uriel, yeah.
Yeah. Just that we're, happy to say that, as we were talking about the stage musical, and you'll be talking with Deshaun, I'm happy to hear that we think the next stop is going to be Baltimore, Maryland, because my mom and dad are from Baltimore, and most of the members of the Orioles are from Baltimore.
Right. No.
And, so it's just going to be a nice tie-in. And the soundtrack, I don't know if you've seen, when you're looking music up on the internet and you type in Soul Harmony, R&B is born. The soundtrack, you'll see where different areas where it's selling and different places you can listen to it. So this singing group has ties to being the founders of rhythm and blues and to singing what is debated to be the first rock and roll record. And having my mom induct them into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1995. And unfortunately, again, Sonny Till had passed away.
Right.
So,
I know we're running short on time, but with so many stories and such a great history, do you see yourself already thinking about a sequel or something to build off of this to go from Harmony or no?
Well, there's always... the producers are so creative with it. There's probably always going to be things that they can add to it and tweak. And in other words, I saw the performances of it in Oregon, and that was wonderful. But then they brought in a different director, and it had a little different vision from what it was in Oregon to what it was in Pennsylvania. And so I saw two great shows. They were just slightly different because the director's visions were a little different, So there's little changes here and there, but the changes are for the better. And both versions, the production I saw in Oregon and the production I saw in Pennsylvania, were both awesome. Just really, and there were people that were telling us that they're thinking of going to see the show twice. They really enjoyed it while it was running.
Well, we're pulling for you to go to Broadway, that's for sure.
Yes. And this is a story that this is, they treated my mother like she was a sister to them, the singing group, and they had offers to leave her as their manager and they stuck with her, and there was a time when she saw that she was making a lot more than they were. And she wasn't comfortable with that. So then she changed it to be so that she would start earning what they earned as singers,
mm-hmm.
because she was earning more as a manager.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they were pulling their weight on the stage. She
yeah.
was pulling the weight behind the scenes,
well,
and they were pulling weight on
know,
the stage.
She might have thought, you know, well, without them, I'm not me, and without me, they're not them. You know,
right.
neither one would have happened without each other. So maybe that's
right.
why she felt that, you know, equal pay, why not? They're in it together, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, but... Anyway, well, Wendy Reingold, thank you so much for joining us. I apologize for all the confusion today. Wendy is a daughter of Deborah Chesler. Yeah, and
yes.
They have this play out. Well, I don't want to call it a play. We'll call it the musical stage production
right.
Of Soul Harmony, the story of Deborah Chesler, Sonny Till, and the Orioles. And right now you can see it in Pennsylvania. Where?
Oh, it performed in 2018 in Westchester, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And the next stop, I'm being told, is going to be Baltimore, Maryland.
Uh-huh.
And once I have some performance dates, I will notify you for where,
cool.
you know, when it's going to perform in
yes.
Baltimore, Joanne.
Let us know, sure.
Let you know.
Yeah.
And there's a film documentary that's come out, that was released a couple years ago, that's going to be re-released, that talks about the Orioles and other singing groups.
Nice.
So that's going to be a nice thing for the Orioles as well. And that film documentary is called Streetlight Harmony.
Oh, cool.
It's going to be re-released in a couple months. And
mm-hmm.
the music historian Charlie Horner, who interviewed my mom at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and who
mm-hmm.
plays himself in the stage musical Soul Harmony, will also be interviewed in the film documentary Streetlight Harmony.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And also
yes.
the soundtrack. Where can folks get the soundtrack again?
Oh,
it's
yes, thank you.
Anywhere online, right?
Right. So the type in Soul Harmony, R&B, short for Rhythm and Blues, is
yeah.
born.
Yeah.
And then places like Amazon and Walmart.com and Oldies.com
nice.
And eBay.com.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm told still have copies for sale.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Excellent. Well, good luck with everything. Like I said, we're pulling for you to go to Broadway. I mean, if anybody's interested and catching this great story about amazing music history and with R&B, when R&B started and the start of rock and roll. I mean, you can't miss it. Deborah Chesler has written many, many songs other than Apologies
right.
for Me. The only ones I know are Crying in the Chapel and Too Soon to Know. I mean, those are
right.
the hits, so that's why I know the hits. So,
right.
but,
she wrote It's Too Soon to Know and Tell Me So and co-wrote Teardrops on My Pillow, and she wrote Barbara Lee and Forgive and Forget, among others. And
sure
I apologize that I don't know the name of the song that she had pitched to, was it Lucy or Desi Arnaz? I apologize, I don't know the song title to that one, but she wrote I Need You Baby, I'm Just a Fool in Love, a lot of great love songs,
nice.
Lots of love songs.
Nice. Well, thank
yes.
you again, Wendy, so much for joining us. And again, if you know, if you have any announcements, please be sure to let us know. We don't mind sharing the news, so
definitely
give us a call.
Okay, I will get in touch, and thank you. You really are a talented interviewer, and I enjoyed this very much, Joanne.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank
and again,
you, Wendy.
Yes, if you stay on the
thank
line, you'll if you stay on the line, you'll see why it was so crazy for me. I believe we've got Deshaun holding, yes?
No, Deshaun hasn't called in yet, Joanne.
Are you kidding? He told me he called at
no.
7 o'clock, the ding-dong. And I told him, no, you got to call back at 8:15.
No, he's not there.
Well,
all
he's
right.
not there. In the meantime, do we have more time together or not really?
Sure. Is there something else you want to add? Sure.
Another one of your guests, your one of your previous guests, Billy Vera, wrote a very nice foreword in the book that came out called What Was the First Rock and Roll Record, where It's Too Soon to Know is the number 10 song debated to be the first rock and roll record. So Billy Vera wrote some nice words in a foreword in that book, and the talented Billy Vera. And
he
then
is.
Another
he is
one
talented.
Of,
he sure
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So, and that big hit of his is amazing. That at this moment.
Oh yes, yes. Uh-huh.
Was that terrific? The way he sings that song.
Yeah.
I was doing some surveys of where would you like to see the Soul Harmony stage musical perform,
uh-huh.
and he was kind enough to answer my survey that he would like to see the show perform in California. So it was very nice of him to answer that question.
He may actually help you get there. Who knows?
You never know. You never know. And you have another previous guest singer, Mel Carter.
Oh, I love Mel. You kidding me?
He did a beautiful. He does that great hit song of his, what, Hold Me, Thrill Me.
Hold Me, Thrill Me. Now it's going to be in my head all night. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Sorry. Yes, I love Mel Carter. Are you kidding? I love that song.
My mother's connection to him is he's also one of the It's Too Soon to Know singers, and he does a fabulous version of It's Too Soon to Know.
Yep.
If you're ever going through listening to different songs he does, I think you'll be very impressed with his version. And then you've got singer Tony Bennett, who sings It's Too Soon to Know in a way that makes it sound like it's a Judy Garland song. So
I like Linda Ronstadt's version. It's a little more on the doo-wop side.
Yes, Linda Ronstadt's version's terrific.
And Roy Orbison, too. His was good, too.
And Roy Orbison is singing another song with a similar title.
A lot
of songs have similar titles
I know.
Yeah.
Yep,
so he's singing like a country song very beautifully, but it's not my mom's song. It's another songwriter's song.
Mm.
I'm glad you enjoyed Linda Ronstadt's version.
Did.
Yeah,
that I did. Yeah, that was more on a doo-wop side for sure. Because she's got the
terrific.
Actual doo-wop in the background, you know. So.
And
they
course,
gave it away.
And I think that whenever you listen to the Sonny Till and the Orioles version, it's a very emotional version, and it's been compared to Aretha Franklin singing "I Never Loved a Man the Way I Loved You."
Really?
Mm. Yeah, and it's been compared to Elvis Presley singing. Let me just get this for you. Also compared to Elvis Presley's song "That's All Right," and in more recent times, compared to that I think they're a grunge band called Nirvana.
Oh, yep.
It's Too Soon to Know has also been compared to Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
This is all by that music critic and author, Greil Marcus. He says that all of these songs and It's Too Soon to Know have a sound that are shocking, and it stops you dead in your tracks. And it's a sound that's stylistically confusing and emotionally undeniable, and according to music historian and author Greil Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
So he really put all those very different songs together in finding them to be, stylistically confusing and emotionally undeniable, and they're all very different types of songs.
Yeah, now when you say it that way, then I can see the comparison if he uses that phrasing. Yeah, they're confusing,
Well, thank you so much, Wendy. Thank you so much for sharing everything with us. And we have our next guest ready to go. Thank you so
terrific.
Much, Wendy.
Terrific.
Yes,
you have a
Wendy,
great
thank
week
you so
and,
much. It was a pleasure. Yeah.
Been a pleasure talking with both of you.
Yes, you too. Take care and all the best.
Take care now.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All
have a great evening.
You too.
Thank
Bye-bye.
Hey, Joanne. And we have Robin.
I know.
We have Robin on the line. Hi, Robin.
Oh, what up, Robin? What time is
Hello.
It?
Hello.
All right. Well, I...
Hang on.
Robin and Michael are both here.
Robin and Michael.
9:30 in Los Angeles.
Right. Well, Deshaun Dooley was supposed to be calling us, and he sent me a message telling me he can't get through, and I gave him the right number, and so I don't know what happened to Deshaun, but not to cut you guys off, give me 1 second. Deshaun Dooley is actually Sonny Till's grandson, and he plays the part of Sonny Till in the play that we were just, not the play, the musical, the stage musical of Soul Harmony, the story of Deborah Chesler, Sonny Till, and the Orioles. So, Deshaun, if we can't get you tonight, I'm so sorry, honey. We'll talk to you soon, okay? Keep trying. Maybe we can get you in at the end, okay? All right. So why are you robbing the mic, though?
We're Bright Blue Gorilla. Hi.
Hi.
I know you are. And I've got to say, what the heck is Bright Blue Gorilla? I'm
Bright
being
Blue
nice.
Gorilla.
I said heck. I said heck.
Good for you. Good for you.
That's
nice
good
because
we
nice
make family-friendly movies, so I like that.
Well, we wanted a name, Bright Blue Gorilla. We wanted a name that would be fun, that would remind us that even though it's our profession, that we didn't want to take it too seriously, music and movies. So we said Bright Blue Gorilla. That would be our name.
Right, but
And that's also the name of your band, too.
That's right.
That's right. And I actually came up with Blue Gorilla, and then Michael said, you know, that sounds like a depressed gorilla. So he added the bright part.
But where? Why? I don't get it. Tell me where.
Well, a little more. So do you remember that movie, Gorillas in the Mist?
Yes, I do.
A couple years back, right? Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Anyway, I had been watching that movie and had gorillas on my mind. And I love gorillas. I just love gorillas. And, you know, we just also wanted something, a name that people would remember. And like Michael said, to remind us to have fun. So it just kind of came to us, and it's been a really fun name because everybody, you know, around the world is like, here come the gorillas, and, you know, they do a lot of really cool stuff with our name.
Nice, nice, nice. Well, I got to say, when you sent me the trailer, when I heard Potion 36, I mean, I just was dying to see this movie. This song is, I love it. I love the song. I swear I think you have a hit with it. But
that's great, thanks.
But you guys are more folky. How did that song come up?
Well, it's not really. I mean, we both came from the punk movement, actually. But when we started touring, we've been touring for 30 years around the world. It's Bright Blue Gorilla. And so when we started touring,
wait a minute, so, Michael. Yeah. So 30 years ago, the two of you said we're out of here and went to Australia and started this. It's been 30 years.
30 years to Europe, actually. We quit our LA jobs, sold everything we had, and we bought one-way tickets to Amsterdam because it was the cheapest place. We went to Europe and we started touring. And then eventually, over many years, I was also a playwright. I was doing stage plays. And eventually, Robin said, why don't we make a movie? You have a screenplay, and we know so many actors, so why don't we do it? So we started making feature films. By now, we've made 7 feature films.
Right, 36 Husbands, right? It's your 7th.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and Joanne, you know what's really fun for us? So, like you said, we're singer-songwriters, really. It's all about the song.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Are you more musicians or are you more filmmakers? I mean, what is your true passion now? I mean, well, now that you've done both, your true passion obviously was music in the beginning.
Yeah, we started as musicians and then slowly got into filmmaking, but we love both. And the nice thing about filmmaking is we can use all our skills that we learned as musicians. So for all our movies, there's a lot of music in the movies. We write all the songs, and we get to write a lot of different style of songs. Like you said, Love Potion number 36 is kind of a rock song, I guess. Is that how you would describe
it? I loved it. I love it. I love it.
Thanks. But so it's fun. But when we perform live, you know, we've got more of the folky rock singer-songwriter sound. But we kind of sound like a band live, even though it's two of us, because it's a lot of vocal harmonies. We've got tabla, harmonium, guitars, you know, whatever's hanging around, we'll grab an instrument and play it.
Yeah, it's just the two of us playing live, so it tends to get a little more acoustic-y or a little stripped down when there's just two.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But
we
did the best we could to make the songs, you know, be interesting and the lyrics and so on. Also, we've been touring the world for so long now, we have so many weird stories that have happened to us that we often just... You know, half the show is usually us just talking about stuff.
Storytelling.
That we remember when we're in the... It's a very improvisational show. We're very happy.
Do you think you guys are more known for your music or the movies?
Well, now it's movies have kind of overtaken the music because we've been on... We have a good distributor, a French company called Under the Milky Way, and they've been putting out the past 3 films. We went up on iTunes. We were actually number 8 in foreign films on our 3 films ago. One of our films,
really?
Which was in German and French. Yeah, we actually bumped above Amelie for a short time, which was quite cool.
For an independent film.
Because of their work, and they're really hustling us. Also, we got on Netflix, we sold one of our pictures to Netflix
Has anything been on Netflix or on the big screen yet?
Yeah, Go With the Flow, and for everybody can see, anyone with Amazon Prime can see two of our films right now for free if you have Amazon Prime. So you could see Mr. Rodolfo's Jubilee, which is our previous film to 36 Husbands, and you could see Go With the Flow, which is the French-German film I was just talking about.
And so now 36, who's actually the screenwriter out of the two of you?
I write and direct the pictures, and Robin produces, and together we collaborate on all the music and also just pretty much everything. It's a very collaborative effort. And in fact, the entire team, including the actors, have quite a lot to do with the films in our world, because it's such low budget filmmaking that we really kind of we're calling it community based filmmaking, because so many people come they say, for example, hey, I own this warehouse, I own a steel mill or whatever, and I'll say, oh, let me see it, and I'll write a scene to take place in whatever facility they have, and that tends to be how the scripts are made, is what do we have to work with.
Nice. Have you guys had any of your films at any of the festivals in Colorado or the one in New York that De Niro does? I can't think of the name of it.
Tribeca.
We don't focus on the festivals too much, because here's the difference between us and other filmmakers. Because we're also a band, we said, you know, why don't we tour with our movies just like we toured with our CDs? Right. So I book a tour, you know, in art house cinemas and music clubs, even house concerts, pop-up screenings. We do it all. And we travel with a projector and speakers, and we'll set up a little cinema everywhere we go.
That's the pop-up version.
That's the pop-up version. But there's art house cinemas, especially in Europe, that, you know, still have funding from the arts.
And Australia,
and they will hire us for the night, and we'll go do a concert, a mini concert, right in the cinema. We'll show the movie, and then we'll do Q&A after.
And we're finding that the other filmmakers and other actors and so on, and musicians, want to know how are we doing this, because for 30 years we've somehow been able to make somewhat of a living, at least surviving, making music and movies.
As artists.
And so we've been doing workshops along the way now. In fact, recently we were at a film festival as just guests at the film festival, and I asked a question to the panel, and what ended up happening, this was in New York City a couple months ago, and I asked them a question about about making a living with low-budget films, and they said, well, how? I don't know if that's possible, and I told them what we do. And the panel up on stage started asking me questions during the question and answer. And so I'm in the audience, and I'm like giving a workshop from my seat. And after the event, all, you know, 50 actors and filmmakers, and also the panelists themselves, came up to us and said, "What? How do you do this? Who are you guys? What is this?
What are you doing?"
Right. Wow. Now, have you ever had any mainstream actors or anybody that folks would know in any of your films? Or?
Well, your German audience would probably know Christiane Paul. She's a German movie star in film and TV. And she was she won an international Emmy, actually, her and Dustin Hoffman, right? I think she won over Judy Dench or something. But she was in our last film, Mr. Rodolfo's Jubilee. And we've also had a lot of fun. You know, we've shot some of our films in America, but we've also shot some of them in Europe, some in Australia. And some of the ones we shot in Europe, we shot in another language, even though we don't speak another language. So we made a couple films in German and French. And it's a lot of fun making a film in another language.
So you think you guys are more popular overseas than you are here? I mean, you're going to Australia on Sunday,
we're more, I think, by the name recognition, we're more known in Europe, I would say. Than
we spend
the
more
States.
Time touring there,
but
right?
but we rent a lot of our rentals from the movies and so on, come from the United States. So film wise, a lot of people in the U.S. you know, are know a little bit about us, but we've mostly focused on touring in Europe and touring in other places because we're from America. We just thought it was more exotic to tour around Europe by train or to go to Australia. Mm. It just seemed more fun than going to Cleveland or something for us.
Yeah.
Well,
and are you guys?
Yeah,
we got a lot of Cleveland folks listening. So.
Cleveland, we love you.
We love Cleveland. But, yeah. What was I going to say? So the two of you, are you originally from Los Angeles, or you met in Los Angeles? I mean, how did this all come about, the two of you getting together?
Yeah, well, I grew up in Los Angeles, and Michael actually grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
We
actually met each other way back in 1989, right, Michael? 89, at a music club in L.A., right on the Sunset Strip, Sunset and Laurel Canyon. I don't know if you guys were ever there, but there used to be a club called the Coconut Teaser. Downstairs they had a singer-songwriter room called the 8121. But it was really cool because we were both performing that night. And we ended up meeting and getting together and writing a song. And that started it all off. We wrote a love song together, fell in love. And then 1 year later, that's when we said, you know what? We're quitting our L.A. jobs. We're selling everything we have. And we're going to Europe. Let's have a life.
So now, do you have a large entourage with you when you travel overseas, or is it just the two of you?
No, there's no one with us. It's just the two of us, and we basically, when we're doing a production, there's lots of people involved, but when we're touring, it's just the two of us. And in Europe, we do it by train and occasionally bus or something, but usually train. Mm. We don't drive in Europe so much. In Australia, we rent a car because you have to drive yourself around. They don't really have a train system in Australia. So we'll be stuck in. As of Monday, when we're flying to Australia, we'll be there for 3 months, driving on the wrong side of the road.
Yep. You there? Hello? Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me?
I lost you.
Oh, can you hear us now?
Hello.
Yes,
hello.
Now I can. Yes,
okay,
now
great.
I got you.
But, yeah, it's really, you know, being from L.A. and being in the car all the time, it's so much fun traveling by train in Europe. And you get to see where you're going. You can relax. And Michael is the master packer. So we've got two rolling trunks, you know, guitars on our back. And it's amazing how much he can fit in these trunks, our tabla drums, our harmonium. And we have a big guitar and a mini guitar. And, you know, it keeps you young and strong when you have to lug your bags around. No roadies.
Well,
we are the roadies.
Yeah, that's for sure. Right?
Right? Use it or lose it.
So 30 years together, kids, no?
Well, you know, we decided in this lifetime we're going to create other things than kids. And so that's what we, you know, 7 films, a bunch of CDs, a bunch of songs. And Michael has so many ideas for more movies. I think we're going to just keep on going. This year is our 30th year.
Well, I know. It's amazing. I was going to say, I can't imagine how you could be doing this with kids.
Right?
Yeah,
you know, lugging them, too, on top of everything else you're lugging across, you know.
We have some friends that do. We have some friends that are performing songwriters that do just take their kids with them. It can be done, but it's a little
harder.
More complicated. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So now when you're overseas, people say, oh, it's Gorilla.
Yeah, well, we get asked about our president a lot, but you know, we usually from stage I just say you know, he who shall remain nameless, and that usually gets a laugh. So you know, they understand that it's, you know, it's a complicated, strange time for United States.
Yeah. So okay, let's talk about 36 Husbands. It's a spy comedy.
Yeah, I wanted to do something that turned everything upside down. So basically, in our film, it's the world the way we would kind of like to see it. The women are in charge, men are sort of on the side, and the spies are fairly friendly. They do a lot of kung fu, but it's more of a energy technique kung fu, not so violent, bone breaking stuff. So we wanted to make, and it's also very much a genre picture. We're making fun of a lot of genres as far as film genres, and also the roles of men and women in the thing. So that's why we came up with that song, Love Potion Number 36. Mm. Talking, it's from really just from the woman's perspective about how the world is and how it could be if there was more women, truly woman power in the world.
Oh boy.
Michael, I got a question for Michael.
Yeah,
Michael,
Johnny,
who's dressed up as the blue gorilla in the video? Is that you?
No, that's actually it's a couple of different production assistants of ours.
Okay.
No, actually, an assistant director and art director.
But actually,
they were
Michael,
the ones that could dance the best.
Right, but maybe there is one scene.
Oh yeah,
where,
that's right.
Where
I'm
Michael
wearing,
and I are sitting at a table, and there's a gorilla next to us.
Oh yeah, I did.
And actually,
wear
that,
yes.
that Michael did wear it in that scene.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He fit the costume. We also got a banana costume, which was kind of fun.
With low budget filmmaking, you know how you get cast in low budget filmmaking? You fit the costume.
Well, John, you know all about that, John.
Yeah, I just finished a Bigfoot movie, a horror movie, and it was whoever showed up that day was able to fit in the costume wore it.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, John's an independent movie director, film maker as well.
Great, wonderful. Well,
oh,
then
awesome.
you know how strange and expensive habit it can be.
I know. So everything you're saying, I'm going, I did that. That's right. That's true.
The nice thing is that we're able to put together, since we've been touring for so many years all over the world, we know so many artists. And whenever we have a new picture, we just email our few hundred friends and say, hey, this is what we're doing. Are you guys available? And it's amazing how many people come forward, because on this last picture, we had almost 300 people helping out through the picture.
Nice.
And the one before as well.
Yeah, from many different countries. And we really become an international family. And it's
great.
So special. And, you know, what's so amazing, what's so inspiring to me is all the beautiful people around the world who open their homes to us, their hearts to us. They say, yeah, come shoot here. Yeah, you and your actors can come stay with us.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Great.
And they feed us, and they just want to help. And it's just
really
fun that way. And it's hard work. There's so many details that go into it, but it takes some of the pressure off when you have that love and support wherever you go.
Right. And it makes it a lot more fun and not as so much work as well. It feels more like you're having a good time.
Yeah,
everything is
difficult. Any kind of job that you do, there are parts that are difficult, but as long as you set up an environment that is, everybody understands what they're supposed to be doing and what the objective is, and if it's real clearly defined, then it can be very nice. Then everybody's like going for it, pointing the same direction.
Everybody's in harmony.
It's
right?
all about problem solving and working quickly. So it could be really nice.
And
you guys sound really, really happy. I'm sorry. I could just hear it in your voices that you're just a happy couple that love what you do, and that's fantastic.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, we feel very blessed and very fortunate. And, you know, sometimes, of course, being an independent artist, it's a little scarier. Like, what's going to happen tomorrow? And, oh, boy, I got to book that New Zealand tour. We're going there for the first time. But with faith and trust, you keep moving forward. And anytime I feel scared, I just say, wait a minute, look back at the last 30 years and look at all the miracles that have come your way and all the love and support you have out there. And I really feel like we have a worldwide family now with all the amazing people we met.
You do, with everything you've been doing. My goodness. Where in the States can people see Bright Blue Gorilla? I mean, forget the movie right now. But where could they see you guys play? You're going to Australia, right? You're going to Australia this weekend?
Yeah, on Monday we go to Australia for 3 months, and then we're going to tour New Zealand for the first time. So we'll be back in L.A. like mid-July, and maybe we'll do some shows in L.A. Whenever we're back, we try to do some shows. But
so mostly on the West Coast.
We're mostly on the road. But we love New York. I mean, what a fantastic place. So at some point we would love to come to New York and do a show and share the movie and play a concert. So we'll have to work on that.
It's a shame, like, that New York used to have so many clubs that just, like, showcased artists, whether they knew them or not, and packed them every night. And they don't exist anymore with live music, you know? There's just not that many anymore. Like, we had Jim Babjik on a couple weeks ago last week, I think, from the Smithereens, and he used to play at Kenny's Castaways. You ever play there?
I remember that place. Yeah, might have been there a long time ago.
Well, I think we played the Bitter End.
The Bitter End
was right across the street. Yeah, it was right across the street. It was on the next corner, the Bitter End. Yeah, that was another great place for bands to just come, and they packed it every night. And it wasn't like, you know, it was just your friends. It was people wanted to hear live music.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's changed a lot. It's hard to get people off the couch now. They're so comfortable at home, right?
Yeah, right. I know. So, okay,
yeah.
So 36 Wives. Where can people see 36 Wives?
36 husbands, not 36 wives.
Why am I saying wives?
Maybe that's the sequel.
No, I don't know.
There you go. 36 wives, make it the guys who are in control. There you go.
Right.
Well, that sounds too realistic.
Yeah. Well, so the best thing right now, we're going to do a worldwide release on iTunes and Amazon and, you know, cable TV and all that. That probably won't be till April, though, because we're still just finishing up the subtitles and stuff. But if people want a special preview of 36 Husbands, if they go to our website and email us, we will tell them how they can watch it. So if they just go to brightbluegorilla.com.
Yeah.
Go to brightbluegorilla.com and email us.
Email us from the website and say, hey, I want to see 36 Husbands. So we'll tell you how.
And we're also going to put up your trailer when John gets around to it. He's such a busy guy. I don't know how he does it.
I think it's up on there on the website on the first page. If you click on Robin's name, it goes to the trailer.
Oh, it's there
on Vimeo
already.
Oh, great.
Yeah. John's fabulous. John, we love you.
Thank you.
He's a man. Yeah,
you're welcome.
So we'll leave that up there. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And,
but you can get the...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, Joanne, the soundtrack to 36 Husbands is up, so people can get that. That's available now with Love Potion number 36.
And honestly, if nobody played it on Facebook on the promo, they got to play it. It's really good.
I love it.
I'm a very bassy and drum person, so it drew me in because the bass and the drums are just so. That's my thing. That's what I love, and that's what drew me in.
Great.
So.
That's me playing the drums on there. I'm playing. I started as a drummer, so that's one of my first. I'm always playing the drums on our songs.
That's great. That's, and I also think the production of your films is fantastic. I thought I was watching a real trailer at a movie theater. You know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We've worked hard.
So, Robin, I got a question for Robin.
What'd you say?
Hey, Robin, I want to know how much are you guys involved in, like, the editing and the final product? Do you edit it yourself? Do you sit down with an editor and say, hey, I want this part in here, or change this? So how could you tell us how you go about, like, shooting
and then putting it
all together?
Sure. Well, you know, out of necessity, you know, just like our lives, we said we're not going to wait around to be discovered or wait around to get permission to create art. We're just going to start doing it. We're going to learn by doing. We're going to get better and better, you know, keep improving, going to make a lot of mistakes, but keep on going. So Michael has actually taught himself how to do the camera, how to write, how to edit. You know, like I said, we do the music, I produce, and we do it all here on our laptop. As you know,
the technology
is amazing now. And so Michael will do the editing, and I've got kind of a natural feel for it. So he'll work on an edit, and with fresh eyes, I'll come in and look at it, and I'll say, no, this doesn't feel right, or I think we need a change here. And together, it seems to work pretty well.
Yeah, Robin's a natural editor, even though she doesn't know how to physically cut it. I do that stuff, but I always do, like, the rough cut, and then she comes in, and we work on it together. It's a nice collaboration, although I will tell you, as an editor, after working on a scene for 8 hours, somebody walks in the room and says, no, it doesn't work.
You're like,
yeah.
Not really fun, you know? You have to have a good patient nature to do it.
Michael, what editing program do you use? Do you use Final Cut or Adobe Premiere?
I use Premiere, yeah, and I used to cut on Final Cut. Oddly enough, I was one of the editors for the Osbournes TV show. I used to work for MTV.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was the Lowly Dailies editor on the show. But it was a great place to learn, and I met other good friends who are still friends of mine that are editors on the show. And it was great. They really helped me learn how to edit. So it's a fun thing to do. It's a quiet, you know, solitary endeavor editing, but it's nice because the movie shooting is noisy, hectic, lots of people. And then I go into the edit bay and it's quiet. At first it's just me and the tape and me and the film. And then eventually we start, you know, cutting it together with Robin and other people looking at it.
Right. And you guys, you know, what's been really nice for us as independent filmmakers, we do our own test screenings. You know, we kind of act like Hollywood a little bit, even though we're nothing like Hollywood. But we did 13 test screenings last April around L.A. We set up these pop-up screenings in people's backyards, living rooms, you know, brought our projector speakers. Yeah, put up a movie screen,
okay.
Made popcorn. And we had people fill out questionnaires. And it was really a great help. There's nothing like seeing how a movie plays until you get it in front of an audience, right?
Also not, you know, the questionnaires, when you do – we're performers, so we're used to being in the room and feeling what the audience is thinking or their energy. So even before they write anything on their questionnaire, I already kind of know how the movie's playing, and I'm able to make subtle changes in the cut to make it improve. Like if a laugh is choking or if there's something's not, if a dramatic moment needs to be more dramatic, I can sense it and make the changes. So over about 13 weeks, you know, we watch the film, I re-edit it, next weekend, watch it again, re-edit it, next, watch it again. And over, you know, many, many weekends, we tweak it until we really feel we got a cut that the audience loves.
Right. I was actually going to ask you, since you watch the actual premieres all the time and the viewings, how does it feel when you know that there should be someone laughing and no one's laughing? I mean, what's that?
It's the very definition of loneliness.
I bet. It's like, oh, crap, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I know it's a little scary when you're watching it with the first audience. And Michael and I, we watch it with every audience. You know, a lot of filmmakers leave the room, but we find it's the greatest way to learn is to watch your movie with every audience, right? And you want to see how they react. And I'll sit next to Michael, and whenever they start laughing, I'll squeeze his hand. I'm like, yeah, it's working. You know, when it's not, we're like sinking down in our seats. Uh-oh, don't leave, you know?
Yeah, it's a great learning tool to be there.
If somebody gets up to get some popcorn or go to the restroom, you're like, oh, no, they're leaving. Don't go. And then they come back like, oh, good. They went got popcorn.
They came back.
So, conversely, when the audience is laughing, and which fortunately happens more often than not, when they're really enjoying the film, you're on cloud nine. You feel like $1 million because you've been working on this thing for months and months and months, and here is an audience that you don't know really responding to this setup that you did with a joke. It's really wonderful to hear people laugh. It's such a nice thing.
Yeah. And like, what movies that you've seen, do you think gave you some of your influence as to what you guys are working on today and music?
Well, for movie-wise, it's almost all everything from the 30s. I'm really a huge fan of Ernst Lubitsch and Billy Wilder, Frank Capra's early work, and Howard Hawks was great. You know, the screwball comedy stuff is so nice and clever. There's a treasure trove of stuff from the 1930s that a lot of people don't really know much about or don't watch. That are quite, thank goodness, at least Turner Classic Movies is still showing a lot of that stuff.
Right.
There's just some really deep and beautiful and funny pictures from that period. So that tends to be the style that I pull from, which makes our movies a little different because I'm really just doing Howard Hawks or I'm doing Capra or something like that. And people don't know them that well. So a lot of times they think, wow, this is different. What is it? You know? And I just say, well, watch Howard Hawks and then you'll know what I'm doing. But it's the older stuff I much prefer. I think, even though it's oddly enough, because they had this weird censorship thing, the writers were forced to be more poetic and more sneaky about how they got their messages in. And that created layers of meaning, which I find is missing a lot of times in the modern stuff. Mm. You know, they can just say it. They can say anything. Anything goes now. And they don't have to allude to it. Or infer it. And so I think in a way that, you know, no, I'm not saying censorship is good, but I'm saying that the artists of that period were so good that they could still get their messages out there by sneaky ways. I thought it was very clever how they did it.
Right. How about music? What's your influences there?
Yeah, you know, we we don't even get to listen to the radio a lot.
No,
because,
well, growing up. I mean, when you were growing up,
right?
Well, you guys didn't.
Yeah, play. Yeah. I was going to say, definitely, like, you know, Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell and Elton John and just all the 60s and 70s stuff. My older brother played piano and, you know, was really into music and had a bunch of records, 8-track tapes, cassette tapes. You know, we've been through it all. So always drawn to the song, all about the song. And then, you know, in later years, we've met so many interesting artists around the world. Like, we love to listen to all the local people we meet. And a lot of our friends are singer-songwriters. And we do shows together sometimes, so we hear a lot of our friends performing. So anytime I hear a really good song, that really inspires me.
Very good.
It could be any genre, really.
We're getting to the end, Joanne, so maybe they could tell us the website again.
Yep, I was just going to say, guys, let everybody know where they can get the soundtrack and catch the movie again.
Yeah, go to brightbluegorilla.com.
All right,
you can find all the links there, and you can email us. And we have a Gorilla News, Bright Blue Gorilla News. We send out once a month or once every couple months. So you can sign up on our website, brightbluegorilla.com, and we'll let you know when we're coming to your town. We also share miracle stories from our 30 years on the road. So if you sign up for our news, you'll get some inspiring stories. And we always encourage people to start creating themselves. We say, if we can do it, you can do it.
Right. Right. Very nice. Well, I'm going to try and catch the movie tonight. I tried and I couldn't get in, but I'm going to try again tonight after the show. But,
great.
Oh, my God. Robin Rosenkrantz, Michael Glover from Bright Blue Gorilla, not only the band, but the production company, and they have a new movie out, their seventh film, 36 Husbands. Check out Love Potion 36. Well, what is the actual title? Help me.
Love Potion number 36.
Number 36.
You got it.
But, yes, Love Potion number 36. Really a great song. I'm telling you, it's really good. You should push that really bad.
Thank you.
I think it's great.
Thank you. Thanks for that.
So make sure you check them out. We thank you both for joining us. It's been a pleasure, and all the best to you. Good luck, and I can't wait to check out the movie. And I'll definitely reach out to you and let you know how much I loved it.
Terrific.
Oh,
thank you,
guys. We really appreciate it.
Okay, take care, both of you.
Well, thanks so much. Have a good night, guys. Take care.
Okay,
good luck.
You too.
Bye-bye now.
Have a safe trip.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, ciao.
You're
bye.
Welcome.
Bye.
All right. Oh, boy. That was a busy night. Oh, our sponsors. Thank you. The Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey. Precious Memory Video in Pennsylvania. KWV Wines and Catskill Provisions. Thank you so much, and thank you to Wendy Reingold. She came to us tonight for the Soul Harmony, the story of Deborah Chesler and Sonny Till and the Tour and the Orioles. It's right now a stage musical, and it's coming to Broadway very soon, fingers crossed. Unfortunately, Mr. Sean Dooley, he plays, I guess, the male lead in the play, and he plays his grandfather, believe it or not. He plays Sonny Till. And again, to Robin Rosenkrantz, Michael Glover from Bright Blue Gorilla, check out the new movie, 36 Husbands. Go to their website, and you can watch it for free. They're going to give that away for you. And the new song, Love Potion number 36, I think it's great. John, thank you so much. As always, we will see you guys Sunday. Not telling you who's coming up. It's a surprise. You'll find out soon enough. All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Johnny.